So two things we're celebrating tonight, the Feast of the Presentation, and that's the choice of readings for today are focused on the Feast of the Presentation, the event that we just heard proclaimed in the Gospel. And of course, St. Bridget's Day transferred to today, so we may feast. And then of course there's Groundhog Day, but we won't go into that, which I celebrated over the weekend. I'd like to first thank Sharon Grove, who is, Sharon, just stand for a moment. Sharon Grove, I have visitors from Diocesan Council who go with me on visitations. Sharon is a member of council. She is here to accompany me. Also, Jane Hope is a member of council, but we have someone outside the cathedral community to be here to just be with me as I learn what's going on in the various congregations in our diocese. So, I have probably said or sung the Song of Simeon, as it's known to be, at least 2,000 times in my life, and I'm probably underestimating it. That's the portion of our gospel from Luke for today that goes like this, and I'll use the translation that's used in the liturgy, and I'll say more about that in a minute. Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised, for these eyes of mine have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people Israel. I've said these words so many times because they make up one of the canticles that is customarily said or sung at evening prayer or evensong. So whether it's happening in a congregation where we get to sing it, or on my own saying evening prayer, those are the words that mean evening to me. Evening, with all a time liturgically when we let go of the day. We let go of all our ups and downs, all our glories and misadventures, all our seeming successes and failures. We let go of all these things in evening and let go of even more as we head towards sleep, kind of the ultimate time in life of letting go. In Luke's story, Simeon and Anna are elderly, righteous people. Simeon, a man whom the Holy Spirit rests upon, that should get our attention. And Anna, a female prophet who stays in the temple night and day in prayer. Both are in the temple when the parents of Jesus come to dedicate him, their firstborn son, to God, something all Jewish couples were supposed to do. Oh, and another thing, Simeon has been told by the Spirit earlier that he will not die. He's an old man. He will not die until his eyes have seen the Messiah of God, the one come to set Israel and the nations free. And so there they are, and this is often depicted in stained glass and iconography. There they are, the old holy man and the old prophetess, their very, very wrinkly faces, when an impoverished couple enters the temple with their meager two turtle doves or pigeons to sacrifice. The law provides if you're rich, you can bring a more expensive animal. If you're poor, you can bring two pigeons or two turtle doves, and that's what the couple brings. There they are when the couple enters ready to sacrifice. Simeon sees them and knows immediately who the baby bundled up in his mother's arms really is. And so he takes that baby, who is Jesus, into his own arms, saying, "Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised, for mine eyes have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all people," etc. The parents, of course, are amazed, and their amazement continues as Simeon blesses them and tells Mary of the importance of her child and the sorrow that will come to her through him. And then, as a kind of wonderful exclamation point on the whole matter, the prophetess Anna begins praising God and telling all who are looking for the redemption of Jerusalem about the child that is the fulfillment of that promise. And so Simeon and Anna, who by the power of the Holy Spirit, both have a kind of, they themselves are sort of thin places to God. And as they hope for this new life and of dignity and freedom for their people, Simeon and Anna are changed through this story. They are set free from waiting and watching because in the child Jesus, God has visited God's people. And they are changed because the baby bundled up in his mother's arms has come to inaugurate a new age and new possibilities. And I should say, the baby bundled up in his peasant mother's arms, really important, has come to inaugurate a new age and new possibilities. And so this makes me wonder, and this is so typical of me in my approach to scripture. I love to take the story and place us someplace in the story, in my imagination. And the place I'm wondering about, whether or not you're willing to stand in, is in the place of those old two, particularly the old man, the old man. And so it makes me wonder, where in our lives has something come our way, like it came their way, that changes everything? Through what circumstance do we have a sense that God may have come to visit us? And finally, what will enable us to take that circumstance, whatever it may be, in our arms, so to speak, do you follow? And embrace it, allowing it to grant us a new dignity and a new freedom. If I had my way, encountering life-changing circumstances would be an uplifting experience. You know, the kind of uplifting experience we hear about when Simeon and Anna encounter the little bundle of joy that is Jesus in the temple. But in my experience, this kind of Simeon and Anna moment can also come to us through something other than a bundle of joy. It can come to us through a bundle of tribulation that we encounter. It can come to us through a bundle of disruption that we encounter. It can come to us through a bundle of heartache that we encounter. Or it can come to us through a bundle of complexity that we encounter, where we don't kind of know our way around. It feels like uncharted territory. When these kinds of things happen, many of us, myself included, would rather have nothing to do with them. I'd rather have my bundle of joy, thank you very much. For we see them as kind of unjust, I would say, interruptions in life, not the visit by the Holy One of God, who may be bringing some kind of renewed sense of dignity for us or freedom. But what I take from the story of Simeon and Anna is this: when you and I, as they did, discern through the Spirit, and that is a recurring theme tonight, that God is in the circumstances we happen to be in, when we discern this and take whatever that circumstance it is into our arms, so to speak, are you with me, as in accepting it, taking it in, we open up the capacity to have new life through it. This is how it works for me. We open up the capacity to believe that God has visited us there with a message of dignity and an opportunity for freedom, the freedom to discern what to hold on to and what to let go of. For Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior whom you have prepared for all the world to see. Now please notice that key to this whole process that I'm talking about is the presence of the Holy Spirit, present in the prayerful and open way we approach our lives. Do we approach our lives like this or like that, to be extreme in my contrast? The Holy Spirit present in the open way we approach our lives, just as Simeon and Anna had that approach. present in something else as well, though, in the community of people God has drawn around us, a community of people through whom the Spirit moves and suggests and questions and speaks and brings fire and light to. A community of faith that is a container, if anything can be, for the Holy Spirit, makes all the difference as we puzzle our way through the many, many circumstances that come our way, some which are truly bundles of joy, and others which are, well, bundles of something else. As we puzzle through these many circumstances, searching for signs within each, that God may visit us there. Which brings us finally to the other important thing we're celebrating today, and some would say the most important thing we're celebrating today. Today, by virtue of the ability to transfer, is St. Bridget's Day, a time we celebrate the identity and experience of this community, St. Bridget's, a very specific house for the movement and action of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of discernment, the Holy Spirit through whom the dignifying and freeing presence of Jesus is made available, the Holy Spirit through whom circumstances of all kinds become the story of a people's encounter with the living God. That gets worked out in community. The Spirit, of course, moves with us in our individual, seemingly individual encounter with our lives, but at least an Anglican framework is the strong conviction that that action of the Holy Spirit and going from random circumstances happening to us to it become the story of ourselves in God, that happens in community. Today we celebrate this community of St. Bridget's. May we continue to be a Holy Spirit community, a community of waiting and longing, a community of offering and embracing the circumstances and the stories of our lives, a community of discernment about holding on and letting go, and a community where God visits God's people.